It is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And the aged hands felt the hairy forearms, not realizing they were wrapped with the skin of a goat to simulate those of his twin brother. The scene was one of intrigue and deception. And Jacob plotted to steal that which his father had allotted to his brother, Esau. What was at stake? A plot of ground? A large sum of money? Power? Prestige? No. It was all for a blessing. For a blessing. We don't normally put such stock in a blessing, but maybe we should. Especially when we note how Paul opens up his letter to the Ephesians. Listen to verses 3 through 14 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Christ Jesus to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Our Father in heaven, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bless You today. For You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Teach us today that we might give praise and glory and honor to You, who deserves more than we could ever give. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, as we continue our verse-by-verse study in the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, some people have called Ephesians God's love letter to the church. I like that. And so, since God is still God, and we are still His church, I can't wait to see what God has to say to us in His love letter. I feel just like that little boy who has just gotten a letter in the mail. You know, little boys very rarely get letters in the mail. And this little boy got a letter in the mail from his daddy, who was on a ship in the Navy, being gone for months on end. And he rushes into the house and he says, "I got a letter, I got a letter." And then carefully he tears open the envelope and pulls out the letter inside. And think of his excitement as he slowly and carefully pours over every word. That's the way I feel as I read this wonderful letter called Ephesians. In 1988, Orell Hershiser was just coming off of his phenomenal Cy Young Award season when he hurled a record 59 consecutive innings, scoreless innings, pitching for the Los Angeles Dodgers. They had just won the World Series over the Oakland A's. And one of the broadcasts during the series showed Hershiser in the dugout just before the ninth inning started, and he was leaning against the wall and his lips were moving. And of course, on the TV, you couldn't see what he was saying. And so when he was later a guest on The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson asked him, "What had you been saying there that we all saw on the TV?" And Hershiser said, "Well, I wasn't saying anything." He says, "Well, then what were you doing?" He said, "Well, I was singing." "Singing?" he says. "Wonderful." He says, "Maybe you could sing for us." And Orell is thinking, "You know, I've never sung in public before, you know," and he wasn't too excited about it. He says, "No," he says, "that's all right." But Johnny wouldn't give up, you know, he just says, "Okay, come on," he says, and he starts clapping, everybody in the audience starts clapping, and so Orell Hershiser started to sing. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow," and he sings the whole thing. And you could have heard a pin drop on The Tonight Show till somebody out there started clapping. And of course, they all applauded after that. But that was Orell Hershiser's way of saying, "Lord, the only reason I'm the MVP is because you are the MVG. The only reason I'm the most valuable player is because you are the most valuable God." Amen. He was giving praise and glory and honor to the God who enabled him to be a great baseball player. That's exactly what Paul is doing here in Ephesians chapter 1. When he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Verse 3, look at it there again. In other words, he's saying, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Isn't that what he's saying? "Father, I praise you for all of the spiritual blessings that you have given to us in Christ." In fact, verses 3 through 14 in chapter 1 are all about praising God from whom all blessings flow. The word "blessed" there at the beginning of verse 3 is the word eulogitos. It's the word from which we get our English word eulogy. You know what a eulogy is? They do those at funerals, right? When somebody gets up and says good things about the person who's lying there dead, right? It's a eulogy. They say good things. In fact, that's what eulogy means. The first part of it, euo, means good. Logos is the second part of it, means a word. So it's a good word. And to eulogize someone is to say something good about them. To bless God is to say that God is good. It's to praise God. It's to give honor to God. To bless God. We bless God when we speak good of Him. When God blesses us, He bestows good on us. But when we bless God, we bless Him by what we say, by giving a word of praise to God. He blesses us, and we turn and bless Him. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, there's an unusual structure here in verses 3 through 14 that I would like to call to your attention. Starting in verse 3 and going all the way down through verse 14, and this is why I read it all in one section, there is, in the Greek, in the original language in which this letter was written, it is one sentence. Your English teacher would call that a run-on sentence, and they would mark it all up in red ink and tell you, you did wrong. Okay? But in classical Greek, if you could construct a long sentence carrying through one thought and making it all make sense, they thought that was the most beautiful way of writing that you could ever write. And Paul takes this and he begins by blessing God, carries that thought all the way down through verse 14 in sort of like a praise and a song, a hymn of praise to God. It has a beautiful structure. And you can, if you read it all, try to take one big breath and say it all in one breath, you kind of get the gist of it. You know, it's almost too long to do that with, but we couldn't possibly cover everything that's in these verses in one message, and I'm not going to try. Okay? But I do want to give you a quick outline of what these verses are saying to us. And then in the next few weeks, we will take and break up into sections what God is teaching us in these verses. This great sentence is really, I think, made up of three divisions. Each part focuses on a person of the Godhead. Verses 3 through 6 focus on God the Father. You'll see where he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verses 7 through 12 focus on God the Son. So that you'll see, he says, "In Him," that is in the Beloved, in Christ, "in Him we have redemption through His blood." So, verses 3 through 6, talk about God the Father. Verses 7 through 12, about God the Son. And then, verses 13 and 14, you'll see the emphasis is on the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. So that he says, "You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." And so, in verses 3 through 6, we have the will of God the Father. In verses 7 through 12, we have the work of God the Son. And in verses 13 and 14, we have the witness of the Holy Spirit. This whole passage, I like to call a doxology. We sang the doxology this morning. Number 253 in your songbook, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Oral Hershiser sang the doxology in the dugout. A doxology is a song that gives glory to God. In fact, if you look in this section, verses 3 through 14, you'll find that at the end of each of those three divisions that I talked about, verses 3 through 6 that talk about God the Father, verses 7 through 12 that talk about God the Son, and verses 13 and 14 that talk about the Holy Spirit, at the end of each one of those sections, Paul gives praise to God for His glory. Look at it in verse 6. He says, in verse 6, at the end of verse 6, he says, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. To the praise of the glory of His grace, he says. Then look down to verse 12. At the end of that, he says, that we who first trusted in Christ should be for what? For the praise of His glory. And then at the end of verse 14, how does he end this whole section? To the praise of His glory. The word glory there is the Greek word doxa. We get the word doxology from. So that a doxology is a word that gives glory to God. So when we sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow, what we're doing is we're giving glory to God. That's why we call it a doxology. Okay? That makes sense? Now, in each of these, Paul uses that phrase, to the praise of His glory. Or to the praise of the glory of His grace, as he uses in one of them. The word praise in each one of those is a word that means to praise upon or to praise above. It's to take your praise, to give this blessing, and to lift it up to God. That's the word that it means. It means to lift up a blessing. Lift up God in glory to the praise of His glory. And so here's the outline. In verses 3 through 6, we have praise for the will of the Father. We are giving God the Father praise because He has shown His purpose and His will in what He has done for us. And look at what He's done for us. In verse 4, He appointed us to be holy. We see the basis of our salvation is that God the Father planned all of this and set it in motion by His purpose and His will. And so God the Father set the basis for our salvation in the purpose of His will. It was God the Father that initiated all of this. And so we give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because, as He says in verse 4, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And so, first of all, He appointed us. The word that Paul uses there is that He chose us or elected us to be holy and without blame. And so in my outline, I just made it all start with the letter A to make it a little easier. And I said that He appointed us to be holy. Verse 5, it's obvious that He adopted us to be His children, to be sons and daughters of God through what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so as the basis of our salvation, God the Father plans the church by appointing us to be holy and without blame, by adopting us as His sons and daughters, and by accepting us in the Beloved. You see that at the end of verse 6. By which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. So He appointed, adopted, and accepted us. Praise for the will of the Father. Then in verses 7 through 12, we have praise for the work of the Son. What Jesus Christ has done for us. And so we see the benefits of our salvation. That God the Son paid the price for the church. And there we see that Jesus Christ redeems us. It says in verse 7, in Him we have redemption. It says we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so we are redeemed by His blood, through Jesus' blood. That means we are forgiven by God. Then in verses 9 and 10 we see that He reveals His will to us. So He says in verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one thing all in Christ. And so we have that He redeemed us by His blood. He revealed His will to us through Jesus Christ. And He realizes an inheritance for us. Jesus Christ has obtained an inheritance for us as the children of God. Because everything that He inherits as the Son of God, we inherit because we've been adopted into that same family. And so we have that same inheritance. And so praise for the work of the Son. And we see there the benefits that we have from our salvation. Third is praise for the witness of the Spirit. And there we see the bestowment of our salvation, how God bestows this salvation on us through the work of the Holy Spirit. God the Spirit protects the church. And He does it two ways. He guards us as God's seal. It says in verse 13, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." And so the Holy Spirit is a guard that protects, seals God's people. And He guarantees our inheritance. Verse 14. It says, "He is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." So many blessings. So many blessings. When disaster strikes, people are often exceedingly generous in their outpouring of assistance. You know, whether it's a earthquake down in Haiti, a tsunami in Japan, or a terrorist attack in New York City. People here oftentimes pour out in generosity their goods so that people can be cared for. You know, after the terrorist attacks of September 2001 in New York City, it was flooded with an estimated $175 million worth of towels and blankets and flashlights and bottles and canned beans and shovels and toothpaste and stuffed animals and radios and rubber boots and thousands of things. There was so much stuff that they couldn't use it all. That reminds me a lot of what happens when we turn to faith in Jesus Christ. He says, Paul says there that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How many is every? That's a lot. Did He leave any out? No. Every spiritual blessing God planned for our salvation in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, He says. And then Jesus steps in to provide our salvation by giving His life for us. And the Holy Spirit does the work in bringing us to Christ and keeping us in Christ. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We have more blessings than we could ever use. We have so much that the blessings will never run out. What a generous, thoughtful, loving God we serve. Let's praise Him for those countless blessings that overflow in our lives. Will you praise Him today? Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give Him the honor and the glory and the worship that He deserves. Praise Him for enriching us with every spiritual blessing. Praise Him for choosing us in Christ before creation. Praise Him that in His love He made us holy and without blame. Praise Him for adopting us into His family. Praise Him for accepting us in the Beloved. Praise Him for redeeming us by His blood. Praise Him for forgiving us of our sins. Praise Him for His glorious grace that He lavishes on us. Praise Him for revealing to us the purpose of His will. Praise Him for bringing us together in Christ. Praise Him for the inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. Praise Him for enabling us to believe, to trust in Jesus Christ. Praise Him for His Holy Spirit of promise who seals us. Praise Him for guaranteeing our inheritance in His Spirit. Praise Him for purchasing us as His possession. Praise God. Would you do that today? Praise helps us to live with greater power. God's perspective, an eternal persistence when we give honor to a praiseworthy God. Let me ask you, is your life a doxology to God? Is your life a doxology? Does it give glory to God? And if you haven't come to Jesus for salvation, you have no idea what I'm talking about. All the praise that I just gave to God makes no sense to you because you've not experienced it. But you can today. So we have an invitation time. We invite you to give glory to God by giving your life to Him. We invite you to give glory to God just by standing up and giving a word of praise to God. We're going to do our invitation a little differently today. As we come to the invitation time, we're just going to pray. And then as God leads you, I'm just going to ask that you stand up and give a word of praise to God. It's a public invitation. It's a public pronouncement of your praise to God. So that we could be for the praise of His glory today. We're going to practice what we preach, okay? We're going to practice it right here so that when you go out from this place, when you go to your home and your neighborhood and your place of work and your school this week, that you will have practiced giving praise to God out loud. Start doing it. And let yourself do that all week long. Get in the habit of it. Sing a song to Him. Give a word of praise. Do something that shows honor to God. This is our doxology. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come to this invitation time, may You be glorified. We want our lives to be a doxology to You, Lord. And so, Father, receive our praise this morning. As we lift up our voices to You, as we give glory and honor to You who deserve more than we could ever give, we praise You today. In Jesus' name, amen. Who has